like open doors, leading you down into my core, where I become so numb. You fill my soul, my spirit sleeping somewhere cold, until you find me there and lead it back home.
Wake me up!
Wake me up inside!
Can't wake up!
In the year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this: "We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world for freedom and justice."
Amen.
The year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this: "We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world for freedom and justice."
Amen.
Well, that's a fitting introduction this morning, isn't it? Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017, the day before Thanksgiving this year. And who better to help us usher in a day of thanks than the Peanuts? So that's perfect. We're going to keep it kind of light today and give thanks and not get too concerned with the affairs of the day. Certainly could, no doubt about that, but I think we're going to try to steer clear of that today and just give thanks. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And so feel free to call in, share what you're thankful for, and we'll kind of stay on that line. Of course, you're free to call in about anything you like within the confines of that discretion that we've discussed, that I've mentioned on this broadcast before. And as always, I am your host, Chris Hinckley, and we are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. Where does one begin, especially these days? You know, there, I don't think you can go away from the Bible as far as giving thanks is concerned. A little bit of background, though, is perhaps helpful. And so the History Channel entry for that is, it's fairly instructive, so we'll start there this morning. October 3rd, 1863, Lincoln proclaims official Thanksgiving holiday. On this day in 1863, expressing gratitude for a pivotal Union Army victory at Gettysburg, President Abraham Lincoln announces that the nation will celebrate an official Thanksgiving holiday on November 26th, 1863. The speech, which was actually written by Secretary of State William Seward, declared that the fourth Thursday of every November thereafter would be considered an official U.S. holiday of Thanksgiving. So you can see that right from the beginning of the official holiday, it was kind of a bittersweet commemoration. This announcement harkened back to when George Washington was in his first term as the first president in 1789. That is under the Constitution, of course, because we know there was more going on than before when Washington was president, presided over the nation. This announcement harkened back to when George Washington was in his first term as the first president in 1789, and the young American nation had only a few years earlier emerged from the American Revolution. At the time, George Washington called for an official celebratory day of public thanksgiving and prayer. While Congress overwhelmingly agreed to Washington's suggestion, the holiday did not yet become an annual event. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, felt that public demonstrations of piety to a higher power, like that celebrated at Thanksgiving, were inappropriate in a nation based in a part on the separation of church and state. That's slightly disingenuous, but maybe we'll get into that more in a bit. Subsequent presidents agreed with him. In fact, no official Thanksgiving proclamation was issued by any president between 1815 and the day Lincoln took the opportunity to thank the Union Army and God for a shift in the country's fortunes on this day in 1863. So again, you can sort of sense the not just competing forces, but conflicted past, if you will, that this holiday enjoys. And so probably a fitting topic of discussion for this broadcast. The fourth Thursday of November remained the annual day of Thanksgiving from 1863 until 1939. Then at the tail end of the Depression, President Franklin Roosevelt, hoping to boost the economy by providing shoppers and merchants a few extra days to conduct business between the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, moved Thanksgiving to November's third Thursday. In 1941, however, Roosevelt bowed to Congress's insistence that the fourth Thursday of November be reset permanently without alteration as the official Thanksgiving holiday. So again, controversy back in the early 20th century, and of course that was undoubtedly a Bernaysian prosumer type agenda. Unfortunately, again, sort of conflicted history, if you will. And from there, perhaps it's helpful to go back to Washington himself, that first proclamation of a day of national Thanksgiving on October 3rd, 1789. Washington said on October 3rd, 1789, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness." And so, again, ever has this day been rooted in politics and perhaps controversy. I would say manifold blessings. Again, the controversy is that while some of us have enjoyed manifold blessings, the manifold blessings of God, more perhaps than others, it hasn't always been without expense and at the expense of others who should be enjoying the same blessing. So that, again, is part of that controversial past. Now, therefore, Washington said, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be the devoted, to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being, capital B. But, you know, that's what Masons say to make the handoff to Christian folk, who is the beneficent author, and that was a Turner phrase that they all enjoyed back in those days, of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in the most humble, in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. Indeed, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. I mean, what's better than that? You know, true religion in the sense that James wrote, James chapter 1, 26 and 27. To promote the knowledge and practice of the true religion, of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows how be best, as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, 1789. So those are George Washington's words to the effect. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863. Interesting sentiments as well when the holiday was officially declared a holiday, a day to observe. The background, a little bit of background. The Proclamation of Thanksgiving, which set the precedent for the National Day of Thanksgiving, as officially declared. During his administration, President Lincoln issued many orders similar. There's one in particular that listeners to this broadcast and this network probably think of. But for example, on November 28th, 1861, he ordered government departments closed for a local day of Thanksgiving. Sarah Josepha Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor, wrote a letter to Lincoln on September 28, 1863, urging him to have the day of our annual Thanksgiving made a national and fixed Union festival. She explained, "You may have observed that for some years past, there has been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states. It now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution. Prior to this, each state scheduled its own Thanksgiving holiday at different times, mainly in New England and other northern states. President Lincoln responded to Mrs. Hale's request immediately, unlike several of his predecessors." Imagine these days before Twitter. "Who ignored her petitions altogether. In her letter to Lincoln, she mentioned that she had been advocating a national Thanksgiving date for 15 years as the editor of Godey's Ladies' Book. George Washington was the first president to proclaim a day of Thanksgiving, of course, and issuing his request October 3rd, 1789, as I mentioned, exactly 74 years before Lincoln's. The document that I am about to read sets apart the last Thursday of November as a day of Thanksgiving and praise, according to an April 1, 1864 letter from John Nicolay, one of President Lincoln's secretaries. The document was written again by Secretary of State William Seward, and the original was in his handwriting. On October 3, 1863, fellow cabinet member Gideon Welles recorded in his diary how he complimented Seward on his work. A year later, the manuscript was sold to benefit Union troops. So this is the proclamation in Seward's handwriting. Washington, D.C., October 3, 1863, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings and fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary a nature, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, and order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal, as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased. Imagine that, back before the Malthusians had gripped power. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country rejoicing in the consciousness of argumented strength and vigor. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy Cleaner is $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the Energy Cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the Energy Cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got plenty to be thankful for. No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got eyes to see with, ears to hear with, arms to hug with, lips to kiss with, someone to adore. How could anybody ask for more? My needs are small. I buy them all at the 5- and 10-cent store. Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
All right, welcome back. Great stuff. So continuing with William Seward's letter, and the second half definitely deserves our full attention. So listen to this, just continuing, backing up slightly. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege in the battlefield, and the country rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. See, this is back in the day when we still had it figured out, sort of, as a country, sort of. this aspect anyway. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, imagine if we heard that from the White House or Capitol Hill, etc. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged. And they are acknowledged, and of course, in conjunction, whom? It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father, there's that turn of phrase again, who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due him to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. Again, think about that. Those words coming from the White House. Commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, and sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment and peace, harmony, tranquility of the Union. So the realization, hopefully, backing up a little bit, speaking of his tender care of all those who have become widows, orphans, and mourners, or sufferers. Really, if you you live long enough and you are fortunate enough to acquire enough wisdom to realize, you come to the understanding that at some point we're all widows, orphans, mourners, and sufferers, so to speak. And that's kind of the point that is echoed throughout the Bible in various places, including by James. That passage that I always think of when we talk about pure and undefiled religion, as James put it, perhaps a little jest, you know, reminds me, obviously, the Bible was not originally written in English, but, you know, don't believe everything you read on the internet, as Thomas Jefferson said. So, James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, speaking of orphans and widows, and we all are at some point. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. You know, if we could somehow find our way back to that kind of a sentiment, away from the political chronology that has gripped this nation and that seems to be enveloping the globe, if only. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And when the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Good stuff. There's definitely much to be thankful for in spite of all of the turmoil and chaos these days, but I think it is imperative, not just important, but imperative to slow down and to take a moment and perhaps really try to ruminate on the things and particularly the people for which we're thankful during this time of year. I mean, we really shouldn't need a day of Thanksgiving. We really shouldn't need to set time apart. And some would even argue that trivializes the spirit of the day of worship or observance. And we should hold that sentiment in our hearts all the time. Still, nonetheless, and you know, I would validate that sentiment, but nonetheless, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, when the subject of days comes up, what do you do? Is this day important? Is that day important? I'm always reminded of Romans 14, which really kind of settles the argument. There are other places as well that get into that. But Romans 14, starting in verse 4 perhaps, who are you to judge? And, you know, folks ask about food. Romans 14 talks about food too. What is it? Is it the Levitical diet? Is it this? Is it that? What is it? And Peter obviously had an interesting experience as far as that's concerned in the book of Acts. I'm not going to eat that. Peter, you know, even after Jesus has ascended to heaven, Peter's still doing what he does. I'm not going to eat that, God. Well, you know, God reminded him that one of them was God, and it wasn't Peter. Romans 14, verse 4, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. See, we're accountable to one and subject to one another. To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And I think that's an important reminder that can't be overemphasized, to be sure. In addition to that, I'm always reminded of Colossians chapter 2, starting in, well, you know, I think of Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, of course, you know, from there, the heart-crushing grip that kind of love has on one's heart. When you come to understand that, then it's a sobering reality. The cross is just the beginning. Obviously, it's not the end. The beginning of a journey. And so from there, speaking of this, what happens, this transition in life from a focus on things here on earth to a heavenly focus as a sojourner on things to come. So Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 kind of gets, well, perhaps backing up. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so, you know, there is the connection, the Old Testament identification, the mark, so to speak, with the New Testament identification or the mark. Continuing, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. But this is the connection to things. I always think of this, you know, is it, I mean, this broadcast, you know, we talk about controversial subjects, which really shouldn't be that controversial. I think they have their origin one place, and it's in direct contravention to this subject matter. But, you know, we talk about things like, I mean, I've mentioned recently that, for example, Bitcoin, blockchain, AI, it's, and the Internet of Things, it's all the Revelation 13 economy, that soon, without which no man may buy or sell. And so what about things like, you know, where do you draw the line as far as stuff is concerned? Well, again, like Paul wrote in Romans 14, each man must be fully convinced in his own mind, but seems to me there are some clear lines. But then there are, you know, these devices that we have that really are sort of otherworldly, and you can get off on quite a tangent just investigating that. But so where is the line? And I really think in the letter to the Colossians, Paul sort of re-emphasize this point. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to festival or new moon or Sabbath day. And that includes a day of Thanksgiving. And hopefully that Thanksgiving is directed in the right place. I think William Seward had the right idea in his letter, even if perhaps there were shadows of Freemasonic language. But I digress. So again, continuing with Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to festival or in or a new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So that's what's important. And we see a lot of form without substance these days. And that's an interesting and provocative discussion as well that I'm not going to launch into right now. Beyond that, speaking of giving thanks, I think it's always important to skip forward and maybe get both sides of the thankful discussion, or I suppose both sides of this broadcast. The spirit of this broadcast, maybe I could say, is embodied in the I don't want to say duality. I don't want to, you know, hint at bad guy language, but in the, you know, both sides of this phrase. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, to open the chapter, it says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, see, again, just touching on the connection to Colossians chapter 2, it's these commandments and teachings of men, back to Romans 14 as well. Anyway, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And this always reminds me of the sociopaths and psychopaths that we create in this society, basically in ways that we condone evil and violence. But again, I digress. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared, to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. So what's the punchline here? Next verse. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. So that's always, I think, kind of the final word on food and giving thanks. And again, I think Romans 8:28 and Revelation 21:5, among other passages, certainly comes to mind, because it is an illustration of God's character and nature, which is in contrast to the world we live in. We know that time is real, and we experience it in linear fashion, even though some would argue the present is our connection to eternity, and therefore is, as the one of the alternate meanings of the word implies, it is a gift. And as Einstein put it, the past and the future are really perhaps just stubbornly persistent illusions. So I think it's important to keep that in mind too as we reflect going forward into the weekend on this day and season of Thanksgiving, if you will. But there's certainly, you know, it can be difficult, I would say, as we look around, it can be very difficult. I think it's easy for a cynical, sardonic heart like mine to sometimes perhaps focus too much on the things that are amiss and should be put right. I think of Lot and the way that Peter describes him. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2, if memory serves. I don't know about you. You probably feel the same. If you listen to this network and this broadcast, you probably feel the same kind of torment that Lot felt, and that Peter describes, I believe. Again, if memory serves. Because there's certainly no shortage of that around us. But as Paul wrote in Romans, as you know, sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. So we still have plenty to give thanks for. There are still stories all around us if we're listening and watching that certainly soften our hearts and our countenance and give us reason to if not be thankful ourselves, to share in a spirit of thanksgiving. And sometimes we're supposed to be that. And so that, I think, can be difficult. Making sure that we, again, are watchful and attentive and not indolent in our experience in life. Slowing down like the Luddites that we sometimes should be, and giving thanks. We'll be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Walking on cloud nine today. I'm over that line today. Happiness is finally mine today.
I guess I'm just a lucky guy. Here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
That she loves the most. the main reason why she left the coast. She's my little girl, Xenia. So much hotter than a jalapeno.
As tender as a night in June, sweeter than a honeymoon, brighter than a silver spoon, just about as crazy as a loon.
Softer than a lullaby, deeper than the midnight sky, soulful as a baby's cry.
That's my
sweet potato pie.
Welcome back. So to conclude the final segment here of the first hour, just to give you a snippet from that passage I was talking about, almost probably shouldn't do that to defile the music. That's good stuff. Speaking of things I'm thankful for, I'm definitely thankful for that. And Mr. Bordop doing a fantastic job on that. Second Peter. Starting in chapter 1, verse 20. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Aha! That's just kind of an interesting, provocative note before I get to the bit about Lot. And on that, I always, you know, as I've always said, you need the secret decoder ring, which is why it's kind of humorous to watch Morgan Freeman go find a biblical scholar to help him unravel, you know, the mark of the beast. And who is the beast? Oh, we figured it out. No, you need the secret decoder ring to understand that. Continuing though, verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Chapter 2, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. You know, it's interesting that the singularity and the rapture were concepts that arose about the same time in contemporary vernacular. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. That was what Lot experienced there at the end. I don't know, you probably can relate. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back. Take me to the future
of you all. Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no question.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.